talk to you about. I want to talk to you about a couple of words. One is you've heard a lot about since December. We made this announcement public at the last Sunday service of 2018. And we said that we were working toward making a pastoral shift. No, we're not disappearing. No, we're not retiring. We're becoming part of the pastoral team of this, and we're submitting ourselves to the pastors that we may, and that's all up to you and the Holy Spirit today, put in that position. We'll still be doing our thing because that's what God has called us to do. And there's a whole lot more that He's opening the doors to us for. But it's still that word, transition. Transition. Let me show you what it's like. Are you ready? I'm going to do a physical. Okay, ready? When I say one, two, three, I want you to stand. One, two, three. Some of you are a little more honest than others because some of you stood up and you went, transition isn't easy. You just came from a sitting position to a, yeah, okay, let's transition again. Papa Joe and I tease each other. He'll say every once in a while he's going to go home and do some work, okay? Some, how does he put it? Mechanical work. He's going to put a rear end in a recliner. Now, that's a little bit of transition there, isn't it? Transition plus vision plus vision. I know it was the Holy Spirit that led us to delve into that whole visionary thing in the first part of the year. We've been dealing with it always. That's LifeWay. If LifeWay doesn't have a vision, we're done. So we have a vision. We have a vision. But transition plus vision equals transformation. God is not just about having you stand up. He's not just about having you raise your hands and clap your hands and get excited. He's about transforming you. And I'm submitting myself to that too because God's not done with us. Ruthie and I want you to know God's not done with us, okay? We are transitioning though because God has a bigger plan and a better plan for all of us. I've had several people say, boy, Larry, you must be so excited. You can kick back, take it easy, and all that kind of stuff. You're retiring. And I'm going, I'm what? You need to call my network office. You need to tell people in my church this last week on my birthday, 65th birthday. Wow, thank you for all the stuff on Facebook and all. I told Ruthie, I said, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't make a big deal about it. I'm 65. I want to get through it and over it and go on. You know, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Within the process of that transition of life, my daughter becomes ill again. And so on her 29th birthday, she's having a catheterization. On my 65th birthday, she is being put back in the hospital, and now we're talking about transplant. Been an interesting week. That's all I can tell you. I had a funeral on Friday. And we had a great celebration. Had no idea that Monday, my birthday, that Ada and Jesus would decide to be together again. And her and Ivan. That must have been some Monday. You know what? I got a feeling when Ada took off, you heard this. Am I doing it justice? I know it's not quite like. But Ivan loved Harleys. Ada loved to ride. I got a feeling that Harley in heaven. Whenever you hear the spring thunders this year, those are Harleys riding across heaven. And she got on that Harley and took off. Her and Jesus and Ivan. Oh, my goodness. You know why we say things like that? Because we just want to make each other feel better. No, we don't. We know the truth. And to be absent in the body is to be when I have been transitioned from this body to that translation, I have now been transformed because all things that are physical and mortal and corruptible and all of that have to be changed to incorruptible immortality, so that when that has been brought to pass, the saying can be said, death, oh death, where's your sting? We've been talking to him in the Cleveland Clinic, praying with a whole lot of people. Where's your sting? Tom Plastner, pastor down here in Uricksville. Tommy and I got connected through Pastor Travis and Tommy and others. And Tom came in and he was telling us about his wife who's dying of cancer. I don't think that's the right way to say it, because she's been doing that for almost half a year. And guess what? They have 50 people in a house called the House of Hope at the Cleveland Clinic, which was a house of death. When they went there, Tom said, Larry, I could taste it. I could feel it. And I wasn't going to let my wife be submitted to that. Guess what? Eric, they're starting a church in the House of Hope. They're having Bible studies with people who are supposed to be dying, but Jesus is breathing on that death and bringing life out of death. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave. We've all had graves, and we have graves that we will visit and have visited. I don't live at the cemetery. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but there are many of my family, my dad and mom, I will probably visit their grave maybe once or twice more. But I don't live there, because you know why? They're not there. They're not there. That's just, it's truly a monument of powerful transition. And the way you get there is not by making yourself feel better. It's by having a vision. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, I love this. Oh, grave, where is your victory? For the sting of death is sin. And it's brought to us by the strength of the law. But the strength of the law reveals to us redemption. And Jesus Christ has paid the price. And therefore, I don't have to worry about death. I don't have to worry about the grave. I don't have to worry about anything. In fact, I get to get excited. I said it the other day at the funeral. I said, you know what? Not too long. Could be 30, could be 40 years. I'll be almost 100 then, 105, 40 years from now. Whenever God chooses to take me home, okay, whenever God chooses to take me home, I will be in the very presence of the King of Kings. It can't get any better than that. And I'll give an old 100-year-old body to the grave, because it has no victory, and God will dress me in a brand new body. Oh my goodness. Even at 65, I'm ready for it now. I'm telling you, look forward to what God has to transition us. And all of that's not the sermon, that's just precursor. Proverbs 29. This thing's just burning inside of me. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. Yeah, if you're blind, you don't know where you're going unless someone leads you. But since you've been led by the hand and the power of the Holy Spirit, you know where you're going. He knows where you're going. They stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he, here's the word Travis, he made real to me. He said, the word is revelation. When they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Ooh. So you want to ask me what I'm feeling about transition? I'm feeling most blessed. God is up to something. Where there is no, here's the one you know, one of the most misquoted scriptures in the Bible. I'm telling you, because it's misused. It's not necessarily misquoted, but the abuse comes when leadership takes it and says, all right, factory, all right, church, all right, board, we need to develop a vision. That's not what this says. And if we start doing our own little man-made plans, the best schemes of man are, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. That's not what it says. It's misused. So here, let's find out what it says. Where there is no vision, Pastor, what's that word for vision? Revelation. How many of you love Revelation, the book? How many of you love it? I do. But how many of you also, that book scares the bejeebies out of you as you look at, yeah, come on. As you look at the present, you look at the past, you look at the prophecy, but you missed it again. See, we take the Bible out of context all the time. We say prophecy. Do you know what prophecy means? It means to foretell. You were prophesying yesterday at the grocery store when you were saying, boy, God has been good to me. God is on the throne. God is taking care of this. Oh, would you pray for my pastor and his daughter? That's prophetic. You are doing the prophetic thing. It's not the ooh. It's the real. Old things pass away. All things become new. Transition's not too bad for any of us. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Ooh. I wanted to pick it up. That is KJV, believe it or not. Every once in a while, the King James Version gets it together, okay? The other was the Message. Well, here's a new one that's out now called the Passion Translation. Listen to how it says. Where there is no clear prophetic vision. Ho-ho-ho, okay. People quickly wander astray. This church is not on a wandering journey. We're not trying to feel our way. We are not blind. We are stepping in step. That's why God led us to call the year last year as we did. Step in, step out. Come on. Whew. But when you follow the revelation of the word, heaven's bliss fills your soul. When you follow Revelation. Let's go back to that. I wanted to stir you up and get you a little bit scared and hopefully make most of you be honest. Yeah, we've all been afraid. And we've also tuned in when we've heard all these prophets saying all that they have put together and the numbers thing and all of that and how the Lord's coming back. And I agree. I get excited because he said there'll be all kinds of rumors. There'll be all kinds of tales told when I come back. But when the Son of Man, when God says he will come. But what's the idea there? He's wanting you to get a hold of not just being ready so you don't go to hell and you miss the rapture. He's wanting you to get a full picture. Revelation is a canvas. I love one theologian said it's like an opera. And over here you hear this. You hear the seven churches singing to the King of Kings and repenting of their sins and all of that. And over here you hear the world crying out destruction and agony and pain. And then all of a sudden at the end, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, rides in on the horse. And his kingdom is established forever and ever. But you know what? If you think that's an event, you've missed it already. Revelation wasn't about revealing you that whole situation. It was to tell the story so you would understand and you could walk through it. But it was to understand who the rider on the white horse is. Vision. You got your eyes and you've got it all worked out, your plan. I've had so many plans. How many of you know I've had a lot of plans in 35 years? Plans to do this, plans to do that. And many of them have worked out, but most of them in God's timing and not Larry's timing. Why? Why? Because we need a vision. What's a vision? It's a good picture. It's a whole picture of the Son of God, Jesus, Lord. Revelation was written by John so that you might know Jesus, not the signs of the time. Come on. I know I'm crushing some, but without a vision, people perish. You know, the world, God help us. I'm walking among the world every day. I'm driving among the world every day. Cleveland traffic. Oh, my goodness. You just will. And then all of a sudden you'll ask God to forgive you. I mean, the Holy Spirit so active in work, and he uses her a lot. She's partly Holy Spirit, and she'll tell me, now, would you quit talking to them? They can't hear you. And I'll say, well, I know that, but you know, my vision is to get where I'm going and for them to get out of the way. You know what? Sometimes the church is like that. We want to get where we're with him, and we forget all the world that don't see. They're blind, and they have no vision, and they're dying and going to a devil's hell, not a deserving hell. None of us deserve that because Jesus died to set us free, but yet all of us deserve that because of the sin of our own lives. But the vision is, if I give him that sin, he gives me. He takes a stony heart, puts a new one in. I'm preaching 35 years of sermons this morning. No, we're not going to be here till 5, 6 o'clock. It'd be days from now. Hallelujah. Without revelation, people are blind with no vision. So that's why the scripture is misunderstood and misquoted. He wasn't talking about developing your vision, getting your little motto down, getting your life, your family motto down. Love your wife, love your kids, love life, love your Lord. All of those things are excellent, but they only take life when Jesus gets in the middle of it. When you see Stephen, he's being stoned to death. Don't forget that. When you think everything's going wrong, everything you prayed for is not the way it should be, get on your knees with Stephen and watch the stones roll in. He wasn't even focused there. It says he lifted up his eyes and he looked into heaven and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. That's vision. That's vision. Get your eyes on the Lord, please. The act or power of sensing with the eyes, sight. The act or power of anticipating that which will or may come to be. Prophetic vision, the vision of an entrepreneur. It's not a bad thing. I wasn't telling you not to develop all these nice little phrases, but who gave them to you? The New Testament says the church got together, they prayed, and it seemed good to God and to us. Good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Have we sought God? I hope you have. We ask you back in December. We've been asking you always to seek the will of God for the vision and purpose of the church. Something seen or otherwise perceived during such an experience. The vision revealed its message. What, when people press us, when they push us, when we get tried by trials, what comes oozing out of our life? I trust Jesus. The act of revealing or disclosing. Something revealed or disclosed, especially a striking disclosure as of something not before realized. And maybe this morning it's a realization that you have the vision. You don't need to pray about the vision. Jesus is the vision. And you need to let the transition you're going through be empowered by the one who is the vision so that you can then be transformed. Theology. Wow. God's disclosure of himself and his will to his creatures. An instance of such communication and disclosure. Something thus communicated or disclosed. In other words, I hope you know that God wants to talk to you. Here's the last one. Something that contains such a disclosure as, if you wonder what that guy just said, what this guy just says, what anybody says that stands in this pulpit, prove it right here. And if it can't be proven, wad it up and throw it over your shoulder. Get a vision of who he is, and you can do that very simply through his word. Revelation of God's word. You can have a vision. You can have a vision, but you actually need a revealing of that vision, a revelation. Without a revelation, I like that. I'm rewording because of the definition I've described to you. Without a revelation, people perish. Not who we are. We're kind of hooked on that sometimes. Not what we will be when I'm transformed to get that new body. but whose we are and becoming what He desires me to be. Behold, all things have passed away. That doesn't mean you and me. That just means things. Things are what we hold on to. But all things become new. Listen to this. My daughter's been in a class studying, and my friend wrote the book, Alton Garrison. He is the man, when I was 11 years old, who preached the gospel along with the rocker. They were preaching at youth camp, and I gave my heart solely to God because He filled me with His Holy Spirit at 11 years old. So,
Hello. Alton Garrison wrote this course that I took over the last few weeks. It's called A Spirit-Empowered Church.
Come on,
and
church.
What I want to say to you before I read this is that God has every intention of moving us from glory to glory.
Yeah.
That is the vision. We're not getting better because we weren't good enough before. It's glory to glory.
Yeah.
And when we submit our vision and ask for revelation, God has a way of just dropping it in our laps. This course is about the Acts 2 church, about when the Holy Spirit fell and the church was born. And he talks about sometimes as the body, and this is just part of life. I feel like every few years in my own personal life, God brings revelation and something changes in me, and I feel like I become kind of a different person. And that same thing happens in the church. God brings revelation to refresh, to rebuild, to restore, to renew, to bring us to the next level of ministry where we are. And so he's talking about, are you ready for change? Change is hard, right? How many of you really love to change? Nobody raised their hand. Cool. But when we're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and we know it's Him moving us in that change, it's easy, right? Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So it's easy if we're moving with Him. And so he's talking about the church. And he said, a look through the New Testament reveals contemporary examples of what God did with impossible situations. Every time God moved with wisdom and sovereignty, a new leader or a new process preceded it. I'm not suggesting that your church needs a new pastor, but what I am advocating is that every one of us can be a new leader by embracing change. We can be transformed by the empowerment of the Spirit, and we can then change the atmosphere of our churches and congregations through the same plan that God used to transform the church of the first century. Change is possible, friend. God did it before. He transformed Jewish believers into Christ followers, and He can reinvigorate the churches of today with the power of the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And it's not a negative lens that I'm looking at Lifeway and saying change, but it is just part of our growth. It's part of growing up. You change as you grow up. As the church grows, as we, Lord willing, do we want to multiply? Do we want to seek people come to know Him? That is our vision. Jesus is our vision. Jesus is our purpose. Jesus is our revelation. Jesus is our transformation. Yes. And with the Spirit's power and the gospel, we're on it, guys. We're on it. Amen?
Watch this. I think it's time to fly. Spring is coming. God is transforming you and me. Nothing of that caterpillar is left, but everything that caterpillar was took that for the butterfly to emerge. My goodness, God is so incredible. I pray you will understand that today. Get ready. We are not who we were. We are not what we will be. We are in the process. I thank God for His process of being transformed. Stand with me. Stand. Transition. Thank you. Arms to your side. Just kind of stand there still. like that butterfly who was trapped in that cocoon. Because I'm telling you, He's breathing life on us. And you're going to begin to raise your wings. You're going to feel the wind of the Holy Spirit. And He's going to take you places and vistas you've never seen before. And think about it. You were so scared. I know that feeling. You're so scared. What is going on, God? What are you up to? And just like a good parent, He says, it's okay, honey. It's okay, son. It's okay, daughter. Just lift up your wings. My Holy Spirit will breathe on you and you'll fly. You're going to see colors in your life like you've never seen before. Colors in our world. Our world needs transformation. If it gets any worse, if they just transition from one state to another, it's not something to hope for. But you just saw hope in action. Just sing before you lift your hands. But let's get ready like it says.